Olive leaf extract is an extraordinary source of the beneficial polyphenols found in olive oil and in olive plants. And now you can get all the benefits from a supplement, olive leaf extract, available through drhoffman.com. Olive leaf extract, one of my favorite supplements. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today's guest is an expert on the field of urology. And today we're going to focus on the prostate because that is her focus in practice at Winthrop University Hospital. She is Dr. Philippa Cheatham. She's a board-certified urological surgeon, originally trained in the United Kingdom, now practicing in the United States in conjunction with Dr. Aaron Katz, who's been a frequent guest here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast and on its predecessor on Health Talk. And Dr. Cheatham indeed has been a guest also on this program before. But we thought we would talk to her for a timely update on what's happening in terms of prostate health. Dr. Cheatham enjoys the distinction of being the co-host of a radio program which is aired weekly on WABC in New York. Dr. Cheatham, you can give the information about that program.
Thanks very much for the opportunity, Ron. So the radio show now, we're into our sixth year. This is every Sunday. We're live on WABC. The show is called Katz's Corner. And for those people who can't join us live on a Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, we have all of our shows podcasted at wabcradio.com under Katz's Corner.
But, you know, there's nothing like waking up early on a Sunday morning and getting a rousing discussion about the prostate and various urological problems. No, actually, I find the show very fascinating, very enjoyable. And it's amazing what you cram into, you know, a relatively short span of time. You guys are really on fire when you discuss some of the latest breakthroughs in treatment of urological problems. And you have call-ins as well. So kudos to you. Great show.
Thank you.
Dr. Philippa Cheatham has also been a frequent contributor on Fox News, Studio B with Shepard Smith, The O'Reilly Factor, Megyn Kelly, Fox and Friends, and has been all over the media. And so she is an experienced media doc. Dr. Cheatham, let's refer to you as Philip, and you please call me Ron. We've known each other for a long time. So tell us a little bit about what your focus is at Winthrop University Hospital.
So I'm actually a general urologist, Ron, but my passion is prostate cancer, and not just the diagnosis and treatment of prostate cancer, but also prevention and education, not just for patients who have prostate cancer, but also for patients who have a strong family history. We know that in the United States, currently 1 in 6 men are going to get prostate cancer. And if you're African American, that's 1 in 3, or if you have a family history. And I think that one of the areas in medicine that we typically are very bad at doing is talking to patients about prevention of disease, what they can do to prevent development of various cancers and diseases. And also, it's astonishing how many associations there are between prostate cancer, cardiac disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and issues with sexual function. So prevention of prostate cancer, addressing the dietary and lifestyle factors, as well as dealing with educating the patient, not just about prevention, Ron, but also how patients can navigate their way through the numerous treatment options that we now have, not just for localized disease with surgery, radiation, all the new minimally invasive treatments, but also the hugely expanding area of treating advanced prostate cancer as well.
Well, there's a lot of different segues from that introduction. Actually, you are very, very prominent in the field of educating men and, of course, the women who care about them about both prostate cancer treatment, but prevention as well, because as you so eloquently stated, if you prevent prostate cancer or if you treat it utilizing lifestyle measures, you'll actually get an added benefit because you'll prevent some of the other major causes of death. Isn't that the case?
That's right. And I think it's, you know, pretty astounding statement to make, Ron, but I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever that some patients that I have seen with prostate cancer, the low-grade, low-volume prostate cancers that we can manage with active surveillance, and in particular the active holistic surveillance, I am absolutely convinced for some of those patients that a diagnosis of prostate cancer has actually resulted in an increase in their life expectancy, not a reduction, because many of these patients who've really taken on board what they can do to stay in remission, they lose weight, they feel better, they look better, their blood sugars are better controlled, their cholesterol levels are better controlled. We know that exercise is very relevant in prostate cancer progression, and there's been very recent studies at the American Urologic Association conference talking about how exercise in prostate cancer results in cytokines being reduced. These are cells, these are chemicals in the blood that can actually result in patients going into remission. And there's a huge study, as I'm sure you're aware, at Harvard, looking at patients with prostate cancer, following them for a 20-year period, and showing that those men who exercise more than 90 minutes a week lived longer with their prostate cancer.
Well, so you could literally walk, run, or swim for the cure.
That's right. Absolutely.
And that's exciting. So you introduced, by the way, let's talk about something that you're about to undertake, because one of the reasons for your timely appearance on this program is to mention there's a great opportunity for listeners to attend a fantastic seminar that you're going to be conducting over there in Garden City, New York. I believe it's going to be in Garden City. Is that correct?
That's correct, Ron. So this is our annual men's health seminar, which we have been doing for the last 5 years. This will be our sixth seminar. This is Father's Day weekend. It's Saturday, June the 14th. It's at the Garden City Hotel. And this is a seminar. It's a men's health seminar. So we are talking a lot about prostate cancer, treatments, diagnosis, what to do about an elevated PSA, and how to take care of your prostate health. But we're also addressing other issues that are important for men's health, like cardiac disease, bone health, gut health, and talking about low testosterone and sexual function. So for anybody who's interested in coming along, you do need to register. If you go to the website, menshealthseminar.com, the program and all the information is on the website. And for the listeners who are not on the internet, Ron, they can call 516-663-9615. That's 516-663-9615. And Joanne, our coordinator, will help anybody to register. And great. This is for patients, new and old, as well as partners. We have many spouses who come with their husbands, and I have to say, Ron, it's the wives and the girlfriends that always ask the best questions.
Well, absolutely. They're really advocates for their men, and you know, clearly that you're going to find that half your audience is women at the very least, because you know, this is it's a mutual concern. When things go wrong, it affects the relationship, and you know, women care about their guys. You introduced a term, which is a fascinating term. We used the term watchful waiting, and the term was a little bit disconcerting, because what it suggested is, if you get cancer, don't just stand there, do nothing. And of course, that sounds counterintuitive. I mean, if you have cancer, you want to attack it, eradicate it, wipe it out, use radiation, use radical surgery, zap it, destroy it, knock it out. And yet there's this notion of active surveillance. And you and Dr. Katz have coined a term, which is active holistic surveillance. How can it be that you can leave cancer alone and that might be okay?
Well, it's a great question, Ron. And as you know, there's so many confusing issues around prostate cancer. We know that 230,000 men are diagnosed with prostate cancer in the United States every year, and 30,000 men will die of prostate cancer in 2014. But the other confusing statement that we hear a lot of, particularly in the media, and patients come in quoting this, oh, I've read that if you get prostate cancer, you'll die with it and not from it. And prostate cancer is a huge spectrum. And we know that there are some cancers in the prostate that have very little biological activity. They're not life-threatening cancers. And these are cancers that if they remain low grade, low volume, not particularly aggressive, they may be sitting there in the prostate not doing anything. And the key is if they stay that way. And with active surveillance, this is where we monitor patients, we monitor their PSA, we monitor the rectal exam, we image the prostate, we may or may not do interval prostate biopsies. But the thing about active surveillance, first of all, it's about selecting the right patient. Active surveillance is not appropriate for patients who have high-grade aggressive disease. And as I say to my patients, active surveillance, number one, it has to be active. And number one, you have to be in surveillance. So if you're one of these people who's going to turn up at the doctor's office once every 5 years and hope that a PSA blood test will be enough to qualify for active surveillance, that's not the case.
And that's not active surveillance. That's denial.
Right. Absolutely.
It's a river in Egypt.
And I mean, this is a huge area which we are seeing big developments in the way we manage patients. You know, with imaging of the prostate, we've come a long, long way, even in the last 5 years, with imaging, MRI imaging of the prostate, where we can identify dominant lesions.
By the way, is that generally available? Because I talked to some of my patients. I'll get this question, and I know you get this question a lot. It's like patients will come in, and the patient may be like 65, and they've got a PSA that's now like 4.8 or 5.2, and so the urologist is appropriately concerned and suggests a biopsy of the prostate. And patients come in and they say, well, gee, I don't want to go right to a biopsy because I'm going to stick a needle in my prostate. I know that's usually okay, but there could be complications. It's kind of icky. Is there something to be done from an imaging standpoint, or even a blood test or a urine test, some differentiating test that'll tell you, do you really need to have a biopsy, or can you wait a little bit and see if the PSA stabilizes?
Well, in answer to your question, Ron, MRI is very widely available.
Okay.
The question is whether the insurance companies will pay for it. And unfortunately, I spend a lot of time on the phone trying to get authorization for patients to get MRI.
Also, you're singing for your meal.
That's right, absolutely. Right. And the thing with MRI, it's not just a question of going to get a prostate MRI. It's three things. Number one, it's the machine. Number two, it's the software on that machine that allows us to interpret lesions in the prostate, whether or not they have blood flow. And number three, it's the human being, the radiologist, who's reporting that. And if you're going to have an MRI of your prostate, you want the prostate to be imaged on a good machine with the right software, with a dedicated prostate radiologist reporting it. And I see many patients who come to me from outside New York City who have had an MRI elsewhere. And to be quite honest, Ron, it's not worth the paper it's written on. The report
Wow.
is not helpful. And then you then run into secondary problems that if you want to repeat the MRI, the insurance companies, you know, are even more reluctant to pay second time round when the first MRI is, you know, is substandard.
Right. So, and that'll set you back, what, like $1,200 or something like that?
It can do. I mean, it depends. You know, it's different prices for different centers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's key to make the point that MRI of the prostate imaging is not necessarily a substitute for biopsy, and you can have cancer in the prostate that the MRI can mm-hmm. actually miss. But I can't remember the last time that I did a prostate biopsy without imaging the prostate first and use the MRI to target any abnormality that we may see on the image first and foremost.
Well, you know, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, the U.S. PSTF, I think that's the abbreviation, recently came out with a very, very earth-shattering opinion that it's just not worth doing routine PSAs on men, because the net effect is that we're doing too many biopsies. We're possibly operating on too many men who might not have progressed to dangerous prostate cancer. So let's abolish the practice altogether, unless there's urinary complaints or if a digital exam reveals some kind of problem. That's a still good old-fashioned technique for feeling the prostate. And I've actually heard you and Dr. Katz discuss that, and you were vociferously against that kind of nihilism about doing PSAs.
Well, I think what's really sad about the United States Preventative Task Force is that they came out with these guidelines, recommendations, but there was no urologist on the panel. And the United States Preventative Task Force, they did not communicate or collaborate with the American Cancer Society or our organization, the American Urologic Association. And what was even more sad was that in their recommendations that were very generalized, they gave no specific recommendations for men in high-risk groups, such as men with a family history of prostate cancer or African-American men. And I think that the task force did men a huge disservice in the recommendations that they made, and it's caused even more confusion, not just for patients, but also for primary care doctors and urologists having to deal with this. And many patients have been very concerned that if they do come in and have a PSA blood test, this may not be covered.
Well, you're from England, and over there you have the National Health Service, and you know that cost containment is a big theme in re-examining the necessity of certain types of medical procedures. You think that that may have been an underlying factor in this recommendation? You know, less PSAs, less mammograms, let's save our healthcare system some money.
I think that the recommendations that were made, Ron, were very political, and I think that that is a show for another day, and if we could get into that in much more detail. But I definitely,
I notice you're practicing in the United States instead of in Great Britain, so I think you voted with your feet for maybe a little bit more, shall we say, extensive and expansive set of options for men with health problems.
Maybe, but I think Dr. Katz has banned me from going back to the UK, Ron.
Okay. Okay, cause, I mean, you could start a whole movement over there. You could be, you know, like revolutionize the urological system, but we want to keep you over here. All right, this is a good inflection point for us to take a break. Let's consider this part one of our discussion with Dr. Philippa Cheetham. By the way, the spelling is C-H-E-E-T-H-A-M. It's not cheat, as in cheat sheet. Or cheating on an exam. It's C-H-E-E-T-H-A-M, and she's got a website at drcheatham.com if you want to get lots of useful information, books, publications, recommended supplements, prostate cancer prevention tips, urinary tract prevention, urinary tract infection prevention tips. That's a resource for you. And when we return, we're going to talk about active holistic surveillance on the one hand for men who are not immediate candidates for surgery or radiation or advanced techniques for removing or destroying prostate tissue. But we'll also look at what some of the emerging options are for men with very, very challenging cases of prostate cancer that's come back and is hard to treat. There's some dramatic developments on that front. and they offer hope for men with more serious cases of prostate cancer. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.